Well, I didn't know she was singing today. I saw Brother Ben and Miss Annabrook doing a duet. I was kind of hoping maybe she was going to invite me to sing with her, but she didn't invite me to sing with her, and that was probably for the best, though. But boy, good playing this morning, you two, and what a blessing it is. I have a couple who have so much talent there in their home. Appreciate them. Appreciate the singing this morning. Let's take our Bibles out. Go to the New Testament, the book of John, chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. It is good to see all of you here today, and I hope you pray before service and look forward to service, and what God would have for us would be made clear. And I can always tell when people are praying. It makes a difference in my life and the preparation for the message, and I appreciate that very, very much. I do want to remind you as you turn, don't forget, tonight we'll have service in here, 5 o'clock, normal service time. We'll have our Spanish church over here tonight. They'll be handling the service, and it'll be great. You're going to enjoy it. Yes, there'll be an interpreter for anything we need interpreting, so don't worry about that. It'll be good. And then after that, we're going to dismiss and have a great time of fellowship in the gymnasium. We're going to have just a feast, a Mexican feast back there, and you come and be a part of that. Come and fellowship. You need fellowship. Don't run out on it. Just get to know somebody new while you're here this afternoon, and I promise you, you won't find a better meal in Hattiesburg than you're going to have here tonight around 6 o'clock, maybe 6:15. And then if you'll keep up with your bulletin, I'm not going to go over everything, but if you notice in the top of my bulletin, I have the word gauntlet written there. We're about to enter the gauntlet 10 days, okay? This is where we have a lot of stuff with our school, a lot of different ministries, a lot of different service opportunities. You keep up with what's going on in there, but let me mention a couple of things. Don't forget about next Sunday, breakfast with mom, 9:30. We're going to have breakfast for our moms on Mother's Day. You come out. We're going to have a wonderful meal for you there, and looking forward to that. So bring mom. We'll have a picture backdrop, a great opportunity for you to get a lasting picture with them. I'll give you a couple more at the end of the service. Let's jump in if we could. John chapter 5, if you're there, let's go ahead and stand together. John chapter number 5, and before we pray here in just a second, remember the Getch family. Brother John Getch has preached here before, and I believe it was yesterday we saw the news that his daughter had been killed in a car accident. And great man of God, faithful man of God, wonderful testimony that God has used, and grieving there the loss of his daughter today, and I'd appreciate it. I know they would. You pray for them today. John 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's stop there, and let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word, and Father, we do, Lord, lift up the Getch family and even others, Lord, that are here today and may have burdens and are grieving. But Father, as we come now, I pray that, Lord, we would silence our hearts here for a few minutes that we might hear from you. I pray that, Father, we'd not have any disturbance in the service. Lord, no moving around, a lot of talking that'd be distract. But Lord, help us tune in to hear from you today. For Father, you have a message for us today, Lord, through your word and through your spirit. And regardless of the messenger, Lord, today I believe you'll tell us what we need to hear. And Father, I pray that you give me grace to preach. And I pray for the invitation time. Help us respond in a way pleasing to you. For it's in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I was thinking last night that there's not a lot that Baptist people can agree on, right? We all have opinions about everything and about different foods and about different cars and sports teams and different opinions on politics and whatnot, but there's not a lot that we can agree on. But I think if there was one thing that we could agree on this morning, is that having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the most precious thing any one of us could ever have. I don't think we can argue with that one. I think a lot of us have possessions, and maybe you have priceless possessions, and those mean a lot to you. But if you're saved and born again this morning, there's nothing that you and I can possess any greater than knowing that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that we could all agree on that. Maybe some of you have traveled to foreign places. I love to travel. I love to go places. And I told somebody the other day, I said, when you add up what we've spent through the years traveling, we've probably spent Miley's college fund, if I had to guess. But she's enjoyed it, gotten to go with us. And we've been to some neat places. We've obtained some neat things, trinkets from around the world. And we've met a lot of people. But to be totally honest with you this morning, nothing comes closer than having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You think about that this morning. Why? Because what you have in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal relationship. Everything that we can obtain and we can experience in this life, it is very much temporal. We can go to the Grand Canyon. We can go to Niagara Falls. I've never been to there yet. We can go to Egypt and see the pyramids. We can obtain great possessions and cars and collectibles in our life, but all of those are in this life only. We can't take them with us. And I think about the relationship we have with Christ and the fact that it's eternal today. It's a relationship we'll have in heaven. I do remember the first time I went to the Grand Canyon. My dad took us on the way back home from a missions trip to Mexico, and I'm a country boy from Mississippi and had never seen a ditch quite that large. Walked over to the edge and was amazed that I could hardly see the other side in places and the depth of it and the beauty of all the stratas of dirt that were there, and it was beautiful. But when you go to a neat place, you see a neat thing, you do something new, oftentimes, here's the case. We check that box and we move on to the next box on our bucket list, right? We want to go somewhere new. All right, I want to go see Niagara Falls next, and then maybe to Paris to see the Eiffel Tower, and we keep moving down the list. But I want you to think about this morning. Encountering Christ and having that personal relationship with Christ is something you never move on from. You know, you may get, I love going down to New Orleans. I told my class this today, and I've taken my wife there a few times to get beignets. Amen? There, it's worth the danger to go down there and get you some beignets. And boy, after we went down there several times, Leslie goes, I don't know if I want to come back here, at least without a bulletproof vest or a taser or a gun or something. She's worried about that. She's like, I'd rather go somewhere else. I want to move on to a new place because this place just isn't it. Aren't you glad Christ is not that way? You're never going to get tired of him. You're never going to see all that there is to see and learn all there is to learn. And it gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by, doesn't it? As we get in this book, and I've been preaching now 28 years, and get in this book, and I read what I've read so many times before, and you learn a little bit more about your Savior and how sweet it is to grow in that and to have that close relationship with him. Acts chapter 17, verse 28, the Bible says, for in him we live and move and have our being. You know what that means? He's everything. We live, we move, we breathe, we have our being in him, and without him we can do what? Nothing. Nothing. That experience is not an experience that will get old to you. I remember when I was a kid, I don't think they have them anymore, probably because they're too dangerous. But in front of the grocery stores, there were these metal horses. Do you remember those? And you dropped a quarter in it. And you got on it and you were John Wayne or the Lone Ranger. You know? And I think now, no offense to these guys, probably not their generation, but the upcoming generations aren't tough enough for those anymore. You know, they're going to have to put some water noodles on them, you know, to keep them. They were just hard, cold metal. And you get on there and you'd ride that horse out there in front of that grocery store and you're chasing down Bad Bart or somebody. And man, that was a blast. And I'll tell you something, I haven't been on one in a while. I've moved on from those. I'll see them maybe in an antique store from time to time, but I've moved on from that, all right? I've grown out of that. It doesn't do anything for me anymore. But boy, I can't say that about Christ. He's not old. I can't move on from him. Because to move on from him, you're only moving to something less. Because in him, we live, we move, we have our being. It's all in him. And this morning, that encounter we have with him cannot be matched. It's matchless. You'll not experience anything on this earth. I've got to do some amazing things, some fun things, some adventurous things. I've never been skydiving. I think, Miss Stacy, you've been skydiving, right? I've thought about it. I don't know, you know? If they set the plane on fire, maybe it would be easier for me to jump out of it. But, you know, a perfectly good plane, I haven't got there yet. Boy, what an exciting thing to do. Boy, nothing more exciting than when you experience that true, personal, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why are you saying all that this morning? Well, when you think about this, what Jesus offers us in having that encounter with him, you realize that it's really priceless. It's priceless. There's nothing this morning that could compare to that, and nothing you'd want to move on to that from. And as we look at throughout Scripture, especially the New Testament, as we have been following our theme, Encountering Christ, the last few months, as we go into and get further into this new year, we see that this encounter, if you had to put a price on it, in today's world, it would be something most of us could not afford, to be honest. You think about it, knowing Jesus Christ personally, walking with him, and all that comes with him, the joy, he is the Prince of Peace. All that comes with him, if you had to put a price tag on it, you would think this morning it would be an exclusive thing that we could not afford. Something very limited, something very rare, because the sheer value of that opportunity would be something that we could not even afford. And yet, as we read through the Scriptures, we see the invitation to encounter Christ is one of the most inclusive opportunities that any of us could ever have. In our society today, there's a lot being said about inclusion. Inclusion. Inclusion in the genders and races, and inclusion in the workplace. Inclusion, inclusion, inclusion. But oftentimes, even what we call inclusion has exclusions to it. You think about it. Some of the most inclusive preaching people are some of the most exclusive people on the planet. They want it their way and include what they want, but not to include what you want. Why? Because it's not really about inclusion. And yet we see in Christ, stick with me, we see in Christ, he says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The invitation went out to everybody. It's priceless. It's wonderful. It's unmatched. It is unimaginable, the love of Christ and relationship with Christ, and yet he made it to where anyone could afford it because he paid it in full. We go on to read after we get saved, Luke 9, the Bible says, if any man will come after me. Wait a minute. Not only will he call us all to be saved, but he also allows us all the privilege to follow him. You ever tried following someone that was important? Yeah, they call that stalking. My daughter, I pick on her a lot, and one day she asked me, she said, who is that guy? I was talking to a young man somewhere. She said, who is that guy? I says, why do you want to know? And she says, it's not stalking, it's just called research. And so I guess that's a politically way to put that. It's amazing, you find someone of notoriety in this world, and you follow them very far, they're going to call the cops on you, get a restraining order against you, and yet, watch how inclusive Christ is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He allows all of us the privilege to be a part of having that encounter with him. How wonderful is that this morning? Now hear me out. He wants all to come, but you're going to come his way. I don't think I'm saying you just do what you want and do the way you want. No, you're going to come his way, but he offers the invitation to all who are willing to come. So what are we looking at this morning? Well, this morning we're going to look at a man who was missing out on this encounter and is about to have it in his life. The Bible says in chapter 5, we're reading about the man who was lame, or he was impotent. He did not have strength in his limbs, and he's laid aside the pool of Bethesda. And yet here he is in all that he has going against him. We'll read about it in a minute. If you were to look at this man and you would think, this man, there's no way he's ever going to get to have an encounter with Christ. 38 years he's been in this condition, waiting for someone to take him down to the pool when the angel would trouble the water. And he keeps missing out and missing out and missing out. And the Bible says he's been sick for 38 years. And yet even he is about to have an opportunity to encounter Christ. You know, oftentimes, I'll give you this, I only have 2 points today. So when you have a long introduction, you automatically know it's going to be just a 2-pointer today. Oftentimes, you and I are like that man. We miss out and we miss out and we miss out on so many things that are offered in this life, and yet Christ offers us the opportunity to have that encounter with Him if we're just willing to do it His way. This morning, you're going to look at this man. We're going to look at his life just in a couple of simple points. And you're going to see that he had everything going against him, and even explained to Jesus why he hadn't been healed yet. And yet he had an encounter with Christ regardless. This morning, I want to preach on that subject, encountering Christ regardless. Encountering Christ regardless. You say, well, what are you getting at this morning? Well, it's very, very simple. In spite of all that he had against him, he still was able to encounter Christ. And this morning, you and I may have all the reasons in the world why we can't follow Christ or we can't trust Christ as our Savior, and yet this man shows us, beautiful lesson, why you should not talk yourself out of encountering Christ. Because he says, whosoever, and he says, any man. And this morning, I want to show you just two simple things that he encountered Christ regardless of. If you look down, the Bible gives us a very vivid description of the odds not being in his favor. If you would, look down. The Bible says in verse 5, he had an infirmity 30 and 8 years. The Bible says Jesus saw him. He knew how long he'd been sick. He asked him, wilt thou be made whole? And then he begins telling Christ why he's not whole yet. He says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So notice his body lacked the strength to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. He was not able to do that. In 38 years, he had been languishing in the very same condition. Could we say this morning the odds were not in his favor? Could we say that? You're looking at him and you're thinking, all right, 38 times and you've yet to get down to the pool, the odds are not in your favor. And yet, number one, this morning, we see this wonderful truth that he encountered Christ regardless of his condition. He encountered Christ regardless of the condition that he was in. Now, it's important that we understand this. His circumstances were no match for the Savior. What was going on in his life and had been going on in his life and what he had experienced and what he had gone through and what he had suffered, disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, his circumstances was no match for the Savior. Now, why is that important to you and I this morning? Well, it doesn't matter how bad off you are, how long you've been that way, and who has forgotten about you along the way, thanks be to God, we can all have an encounter with Christ regardless of our condition. Now you're thinking this morning, well, are you talking about salvation? Yeah, I'm talking about salvation, but I'm also talking about service to God. How often do we try to talk God out of using us because of our condition? Think about it this morning. There's a woman in the well, she wasn't in the well, but she was at the well. I know some people that would have thrown her in the well. Thanks be to God that Jesus didn't do that. Just one chapter over. If you begin reading in John chapter 4, we won't take the time to do that. Here was a lady that was very surprised that Jesus wanted to have anything to do with her at all. Why are you even talking to me? And now, not only did he talk to her, he asked her to give them some water. I mean, she was a Samaritan. She had been married 5 times, and she was living with the sixth. I mean, this lady didn't have a whole lot going for her, and yet in John chapter 4, she encountered Christ. Do you know why? Because you can encounter Christ regardless of your condition. Could we agree this morning this lady had condition issues? We agree with that? She had condition issues. My wife collects this pink Pyrex, pink and blue Pyrex. Boy, if you ladies had known how valuable that stuff was going to be 30 years ago, you could have stocked your cabinets and had a retirement in that stuff. Found out Leslie liked it. It's just a glass bowl. It's pink. It's Pyrex, right, babe? Pink? Okay. And in blue. And she says, look, if you see any of that, you know, maybe for my birthday or Christmas, that's what I would like. And so I go on this hunt. I'm looking for pink Pyrex and blue Pyrex. And somebody says, the lucky rabbit over there has got a whole school bus loaded down with Pyrex. I'm like, cha-ching. Cha-ching is the word. $300 for just a couple of bowls. Thinking to myself, honey, you sure that you're not interested in Dixie plates, you know? I mean, they're a lot cheaper than Pyrex. And yet, man, that's what she was interested in. So I'm looking around the bus, and I'm like, whoa, and these little bitty things, I mean, $30, $40. I'm like, good night. And then I saw one that had a price tag on it, $12. I'm like, whoa, now we're getting in there. Reel it in. And I looked on the little tag, and the tag said condition issues. Had a little chip on the back of it. Well, what they didn't know, that's what I was looking for. I couldn't afford the whole ones. I needed one that had condition issues. And now her cabinet, she has a little pie safe there at the house, and that little cabinet is full of all these little Pyrex dishes that she has. And can I be honest with you? You're thinking, well, you're just a cheap scoundrel buying your wife that kind of stuff. No, I know what she'd do if she found out I paid $300 for a bowl. She's got this pie safe at our house, and it's got all these little pieces of Pyrex, pink and blue, in there, and they're just so beautiful on display there in our home. And I couldn't help but think this morning, I was sitting there in the living room, and I looked across the kitchen, and there was that pie safe. And I said, you know, that pie safe is kind of like the church, isn't it? Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Do you know what Jesus came looking for? He came looking for people who had condition issues. That's what he came looking for. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What does that mean? It means if you're lost this morning, don't talk the Holy Spirit out of drawing you to Christ, because you're who he's looking for. You're that pink piece of Pyrex in the school bus with the chip on the back of it. And look, I want you to know, as excited as I would get when I would see that $12 for that little piece of Pyrex, Jesus got more excited for you. Boy, I mean, he saw that woman at the well. You say, well, how do you know he valued her? Because he told the disciples, I must needs go. There's a chipped pink piece of Pyrex. Well, that's a tongue twister. That I'm going to redeem. That's you and I. Don't ever forget you were a chipped pink piece of Pyrex. And somebody looked at you, and their heart began to race because of you, and they're willing to pay the price for you. That's Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, you can encounter Christ regardless of your condition. You know, I think about our church, and I think about churches in general, and sometimes we're museums for showpieces, when really we're just a pie safe for chipped Pyrex. That's all we are. We still have condition issues. You think about what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:11. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And oh, he's about to give them both barrels. He's talking about the adulterers and idolaters not going to heaven. And the Bible goes on to say, and such were some of you. Can I remind every person in this room that saved us something today? And such were all of us. Every last one of us. What did he say? And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Thank God that the God in heaven is a God that saves those with conditions issues. I have people all the time try to talk me out of winning them to Christ. They're like, well, I'm a sinner. Well, you're who I'm looking for. I get tired of finding Pharisees who don't have any chips on their Pyrex. We're looking for the people Jesus was looking for. Yesterday, a group of people went out from here. I get text messages all throughout the week. Pastor, somebody's coming to church that I invited today. Amen! Why? Because they need to realize there's a church here that's collecting chipped pink Pyrex. Because Jesus gave his life for them. There's not a soul in here this morning that wasn't just like that woman in John chapter number 4. I think about the demoniac. You're talking about a guy with condition issues. He had all kind of issues. He was named Legion. And when the evil spirits went out of him, they went into about 2,000 pigs. I mean, talking about issues, and yet he had an encounter with Christ. Why? Because you can encounter Christ regardless of your condition. So often as a Christian, though, let me tell you what happens. We will amen that to lost people. But boy, it gets awful quiet when we start talking about saved people. Well, we have this ministry that needs filling here. We need somebody to step up in this gap. We need somebody to take the reins here. We need more folks to go out door knocking and soul winning. Well, you know, I've got issues. I can't right now. I can't. It's amazing what we can do and what we can't do. Can we just be honest with that? It's amazing when it comes to the things of God, we can't do because, well, I got this and I got that. But boy, I tell you, when what we want to do pops up on the radar, it's amazing how we can do those things. Jeremiah said this, chapter 1, verse 6. God called him to preach, and he says, "Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child." He says, "God, don't you recognize my condition? I'm a kid. I can't." What's amazing, if you'll go back and read the verse right above that, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God knew his condition when he calls him. Can I tell you, when God calls you and leads you to something, he knows your condition ahead of time. There's no need to argue with him. God, do you realize who you're talking to? I mean, good night. Do you know what I am not capable of? Before he even formed you in your mother's belly, he knew you and he knew me. God knows who he's talking to. If you would, look back down to our passage here. Look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him laying there, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Jesus knew who he was talking to. He knew who he was talking to. And even though he was in the condition he was, Christ desired to work in his life. John chapter 5, verse number 6. You look at it. It's a good picture of who you and I are. We're like, "Lord, I don't know if you know this, but I'm like Moses. I can't speak." God says, "I know who I'm talking to. God, I have a busy schedule today. God, I don't know if I have time to go back and talk with the pastor about what you put on my heart because I've got to go." God says, "I knew what you had on your schedule when I talked to you." God knows who he's talking to. And when God draws us and God leads us, it's for us to just be obedient to what he calls us to, because God can work in our life regardless of our condition. He knows who he's talking to. What was it Lee Robertson years ago used to say? God doesn't call us because we are equipped, but he equips us because we're called. Beware in getting into the habit of excusing what God expects. Beware of getting into the habit of excusing away what God expects. "Well, you don't know. You just don't understand my condition." Look, I don't understand your condition. I don't. I used to say a lot, "I know how you feel." To be honest with you, none of us know how any of us feels. Just because you lose a child and they lose a child doesn't mean you know how they're feeling. They may be feeling different way than you felt. We don't know, but our Father knows. Our Father knows. And when our Father speaks to us through his word, through his will, through the preaching of the word of God, he knows who he's talking to. He says, "I knew you've been laying there for a while. I know how long you've been there. I know what condition you're in." Number one, this morning, this man's about to encounter Christ, but he had to realize that God was going to do it regardless of his condition. God's going to use you regardless of you. Jeremiah said, "I'm too young." Moses says, "I'm not eloquent." God says, "It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it in spite of you. I knew your condition when I called you." It's for us to simply be obedient. Number one, he encountered Christ regardless of his condition. But watch this. Boy, something really jumped out in my heart. If you look down to verse number 7, he begins to tell Jesus why he can't and why he hasn't been healed thus far. The impotent man answered him, "Sir," watch this, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." Boy, this is important. In his condition, he needed someone else to help him get in the water. And he says, "If I don't have somebody else, then there's no way that I can get down there and that I can be healed." He was simply saying, "I can't do this on my own," was he not? But if you'll notice, Jesus didn't need any help. He didn't need any help. Number two, watch this. He encountered Christ regardless of his companions. Not only regardless of his condition, but he did it regardless of his companions. And let me bring this truth to life before we close today. If you're not careful, you will get to the place and you'll get in the habit of thinking that you know what you need to do what you're called to do. "Well, I need this first, and I need this first, and I need that, and I need that. And God, if you'll just take care of all of this, then I..." Notice the guy says, "I need some man." Look what he says in verse 7. Sir, I have no man. You see, if the impotent man is going to wait on someone else to come before he can be healed, the odds are he's never going to be healed. He did not have the time to wait for someone else to do their part in order for them to have what God wanted him to have. Now, this is important, folks. We're living in a world where so much of our service and our faithfulness and our surrender to God is all contingent upon someone else. Well, if you're faithful, I'll be faithful. If you step up, I'll step up. I call it the look-around lifestyle. I remember when I was a kid, I was in school. You're sitting there, and the principal would ask a question, or the teacher would ask a question, and you would do this. Find out who's volunteering first. And nobody else volunteers, you're not going to volunteer. It's called the look-around lifestyle. I see it in our schools, you know. You'll ask, hey, who was out there in the parking lot about 5 minutes ago? You know, we don't hang separately, we'll hang together. And you're going to look around to find out, hey, do I have a man? When I read verse 7, I got to say this. That's the verse I'm going to put in my daughter's card when I send her off to college. It's her life's verse. Sir, I have no man. That's going to be it right there. Life's verse, Miley. Adopt that one, all right? Amen. I just had to throw that in there. Watch this. How much of what you do or don't do for God is because you have no man? I'm not talking about a male. I'm talking about somebody else to do it for you. How much are you waiting on doing for God and waiting on stepping up and waiting on being faithful? Well, I'm going to do what they do and I'm going to get on board. And yet Christ worked in this man's life regardless of his companions. Meaning, you know what? Whether they show up to help you in the water or not, I can still work in your life. Hey, teenagers this morning, we preach it to them all the time. Hey, you stand for God, even if you have to stand alone. But I'm going to tell you, it's adults who have the problem standing alone. We look around, all right, who else is standing? Who else is being, hey, who else is going? Who else is going to show up? Hey, it doesn't matter who shows up. It doesn't matter who stands up. If God has called you, God can work in you in spite of what everybody else doesn't do. In spite of your companions. That's what he says. I'm waiting on a man. I'm waiting on somebody else to do their job. Think about Daniel this morning. He was commanded not to pray. Daniel didn't do this. Are y'all going to pray? Y'all going to pray? Nope. Daniel didn't look around, he looked up. What do you want me to do? Well, God had already told him what he was supposed to do. Daniel went back to his house and he prayed with his windows open as he did aforetime. You see, he didn't look around, he looked up. Our service to God should not be a look around service. I'm going to look around and see who else is on board. And then look, why are you waiting on somebody else to step up for you to do what God wants to do in your life? Say, God, I mean, do you wait for other people to get up and go to the buffet before you go to the buffet? Well, nobody went over there to the rib buffet, so I'm just going to sit here and wait for somebody else to go to the rib buffet. Well, nobody else went over to the ice cream machine. I'm going to wait for somebody else to go to the ice cream machine. Go ahead. You can wait all you want. Watch me. I want the ice cream. I want the ribs. Folks, can I tell you what God has for in store for us is way better than ice cream and ribs. And yet here's what we do. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you on board? Hey, I don't care if you're on board or not. I'm on board. Why? Because Christ wants to work in my life. And if you don't want him to work in your life, fine. If you don't want him to work in your life, fine. Doesn't matter. He's going to work in my life in spite of who doesn't. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we've gotten to a place now where we wait and we take a pole. We stick our finger up in the air to see where the wind is blowing. Why don't you just do what God says do? Why don't you just get out this book and get on your knees, spend some time with God and ask God what his will is instead of finding out from the men that you have in your life. Well, you know, what are you going to do? Well, what are you going to do? Doesn't matter. Guy says, I'm waiting on a man. Don't wait on a man this morning. Amen. David found himself all alone facing a giant. Watch this. He didn't go, well, are you guys coming? His cowardly brothers up on the hill. Guys, are y'all coming? Come on. No, David didn't look around. He looked up. He said, the Lord's going to deliver you this day into my hand. I'm going to take your head off. How do you do that? Well, you do that through an encounter with Christ. That I'm looking to you. My movements are based on you. What I do is based on you. I'm not going to look around to find out what your will is. I'm going to look to you to find out what your will is. Several years ago, and I'll hurry, I went to preach at a church in another state. You wouldn't know it. And there were six people. And I went in, and I'm thinking, well, I hope this is not a very specific message. because it could only be one of you. Me made it seven. And so I go in and I sit down, and someone led the singing, and singing was not very good, just to be honest with you. And the atmosphere was pretty dead. I got up to preach, and I preached. And the whole time I preached, there was a lady singing right over here, and she smiled at me the whole time. The whole time. Even while I'm preaching, I'm thinking, how are you doing it? Because I, you know, what was the old phrase? Dry as cracker juice? It was dry in there, buddy. It was dry. After the service, I went up, got to know the lady. The lady just had such joy. The lady just had such a great spirit. I'm thinking, lady, I'd be out of here if I was you. I didn't tell her that, but I was thinking that. I went back years later, preached again. Preached there many, many times at that church. Lady always had the best spirit, best attitude, the most joy. To this day, I told Miley about her the other day, to this day, that lady's one of the greatest Christians I've ever met. And I'm thinking, no offense to their song leader, he's not Brother Zach. I mean, the pianist barely knew the hymns that were there. It was just pecking out. It wasn't great. No programs, no schedule, no calendar of events of what's going on. Just, we're going to show up on Sunday morning for Sunday school. We're going to show up for church. We're going to show up Wednesday night. And that's it. I mean, that's it. This lady had so much joy in her life. She still does this. I talked to her just the other day. Do you know what I realized? She was happy just being Jesus in her. Just Jesus in her. I wonder this morning, could we be happy that way? Or do you need a man? You need, well, I'm not going to be happy if they're not happy. I'm not going to be faithful if they're not faithful. Why don't you just get to a place in your walk with God where Jesus in you is enough? I don't need a man. I don't need somebody else to be faithful to make me faithful. I want to have an encounter with Christ, and I don't need anybody else to have that encounter with Christ. That's what you see right here in this picture. I think about the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says this, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." And I'll tell you, loneliness is one of the most horrific tortures there is. "But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear." Notice, Paul's not saying it was easy because no one stood with him. Have you ever been alone? You've been lonely. Yeah, I think we all have. And yet Paul follows up verse 16 in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." He encountered Christ regardless of his companions. Just Jesus and me. Jesus and me. I promise you, there will be some Davids and some Esthers come out of these young people when they get to the place where it's just Jesus and them. Where, isn't it nice having somebody else wanting to serve God? Yes, great. I had the preacher boys up here a few months ago. That's great when there's a group, but you're not always going to have a group. 38 years, everybody just kept passing him by, waiting. I wonder this morning, could there be any Christians in this room, and you're waiting, and all this time is passing by, and you're waiting on someone else to do for you what you could do through Christ for yourself? You just got to decide, you know what? I'm going to have an encounter with Christ regardless of companions. Think about this before we close. If Peter had waited on the other men, he'd never got out of the boat, never walked on water. You know, I don't know if we're going to be able to do that in heaven. That and flying are two things I want to know. Are we going to be able to fly? I know we're not going to be angels, but I wonder if we're going to be able to fly. He walked on water, but he would have missed it if he'd have waited on his companions. Well, if y'all get out of the boat, hey, why don't we hold hands and get out of the boat together? Yeah, it ain't happening. Those boys in that boat were basically Baptist. Getting them to agree and get out of the boat together ain't happening. Think about David. If he had waited on the other men, he'd never killed Goliath. If the three Hebrew boys had waited on somebody else to stand with them, they would have never encountered Christ in the fire. Do you ever wonder what you're missing out on because you're waiting on somebody else? Well, I'm gonna do what they do. I'm going to follow them. And yeah, you're going to miss out on killing a giant, walking on water, or spending time in the furnace with Christ. Yesterday was the first Saturday of May, If you're a sports enthusiast, the first Saturday in May is always the running of the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs. I know none of you would gamble, but a lot of people did yesterday. Almost $250 million were bet yesterday at the Kentucky Derby. I think $230 million. The horse that won, I forget what his name was. I read about it this morning. He was at 18-1 odds. 18-1 odds. And for those of you smiling and nodding your head real big, no, I know you didn't place money on it. I'm picking. But I think about how many of those people invested their money on the one who didn't win based on what the odds that somebody else said they were. And you had the long shot over here. His name was Mystic something. He had the long shot, 18-1 odds that they said this guy's not going to win, and yet he's the guy who won. He won literally by nose yesterday. Boy, what I wonder is how much of our life we're going to gamble on the odds makers. Well, this is what they say. This is what they do. This is where they go. This is how they live. And you're going to lose more than money. You're going to lose years. You're going to lose opportunity. And you're going to lose influence. Because you were looking to a man to tell you how to live rather than just have a personal encounter with Christ. Can I tell you something? When you invest your life, your time, your opportunity, your resources with the cause of Christ and the will of God, I'll tell you what happens. He never lets you down. Just like this man right here, he found out the encounter with Christ is worth it. It's worth it. What's the key this morning? I'll give you this. What's the key? Well, the key is realizing that God wants to work in your life today regardless of your condition. Regardless of your condition. Does it matter how long you've been in the state you've been and how low you've been and how many people have left you behind and forgot about you? It doesn't matter what your condition is. Number one, God wants to save you today. You're a chipped piece of Pyrex, just like I was, and in need of redeeming, and He'll save you today. You can become a child of God before you walk out those doors today. How wonderful is that? But then if you're saved today, I wonder if you're telling God why you can't serve Him because of your condition. Well, I can't speak, and I don't have any talent, and I'm not able. Can I just tell you a simple truth today? He knows who He's talking to. He knows who He's talking to. And if He's talked to you, and He's leading you, and He's spoken to you, and He's drawing you, He knows who He's talking to. Why don't you quit arguing with God and realize He can work in your life regardless of your condition? Whatever it is, He can work in your life. But maybe this morning, the holdup. The holdup is, well, you know, maybe if somebody else will, I will. I wouldn't wait on anybody else to have an encounter with Christ. This morning I would realize the pricelessness of that privilege, the opportunity to walk with Him, to be used of Him. No, whether nobody else in this world wants it, you ought to want it for yourself. Can you imagine if you looked at Christ and said, hey, I'm good. I'm going to wait on somebody. He said, well, I can heal you now. Well, it's good. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait on somebody. Well, you've been there 38 years. Why don't you just decide you ain't going to wait on anybody else? You're going to get on board with Christ and let Him work through your life. Here's the key. He says, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou? Here's what He's saying. I can work regardless of your conditions. I can work regardless of your companions. But I won't work regardless of you. You see, you have to choose it. He's not going to invade your will and save you. If you don't want to be saved, you can die and spend eternity in a devil's hell all eternity. If you don't want to be saved, then fine. He's not going to make you. Wilt thou? Wilt thou? So it's up to you. Wilt thou? I want to, but will you? I'm not going to do it regardless of you. You have to choose. Yes. Yeah. I want to be made whole. Wilt thou this morning let God work in your life regardless of your condition? Will you? Will you? Will you let God work in your life regardless of your companions this morning? Will you? He wants to. And oh, this morning, what great work of God could be done in the next few minutes if we just decided, yes, yes, I will. I will. Our heads are bowed today. Let's stand together with our eyes closed. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Let's try to keep our movements minimal. Can I ask you a quick question? No one's looking around. Are you here today, and in your heart, you're not sure that if you died, you would go to heaven? You're not sure. You say, but I'd love to be sure. If he would save me in my condition, I would want that today. Would you just lift your hand up so I could pray for you? Say, I'm not sure, but if he'll save me today in my condition, I want it. Just lift your hand right up and put it right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but if he'll save me in my condition, I'll come today. I want to be made whole. In a few minutes, when the pianist begins to play, you come down, find someone with the Bible, and they'll show you how you can know. Maybe this morning you're saved, but you're arguing with God. I can't serve you. I don't have the time to do this, and I don't have the ability to do that. You're saying, God, do you know my condition? Yeah, he knows your condition. He knows how you've been for a long time. The question is, will you let him work regardless of your condition? Or maybe this morning you just need to decide, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to have an encounter with Christ regardless of who else does and who else don't. If he wants to work, I'm willing for him to work in my life today. And during this invitation today, I want to tell him, I will, I will. Wilt thou? I will. Father, I thank you today for your word, and I thank you for what Jesus did in this man's life. Father, I pray you'd help us to see ourselves in him. That's why you preserved your word for us. Father, we are in our condition, and we are helpless without Jesus. And yet, Father, this morning, in spite of our condition, he died on that cross that we could be saved. I pray that, Father, they'd realize you'll redeem them just as they are. But, Lord, you won't leave them that way. For us who are saved, Father, whatever our excuse is, help us, Father, not to excuse what you expect of us today. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.